This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله عليه أفضل الصلاة ومن والاه أما بعد. So we are now, I mean, even though we have already officially started it, we're heading into the third story of Surah Al-Kahf, which is the story of Musa عليه السلام and Khidr. Khidr, it is also said, for the most part, the majority of the history books say that Khidr is this individual, Yusha ibn Nun. Yusha ibn Nun is the successor of Musa alayhi salam. He basically was the leader of Bani Israel after the death of Musa alayhi salam. So Yusha ibn Nun, and that is why I write in brackets there that he was an intern to the Prophet Musa alayhi salam in this particular story that we're going to look at. There is a lot to hatch out here, so that's why I want to make sure that we are all at the same page and we are all moving at the same pace. There's a lot to hatch out here. So I at least want to get some of the main points. Now, if you take a look at your notes, before we look at the ayah, you'll notice that there's a couple of points about Yusha ibn Nun. It is said that he became, alayhi salam, he became the first prophet after the death of Musa, alayhi salam. He eventually became the leader of Bani Israel. He hang out with the prophet Musa, and he was at service to him. The ayah is going to mention a word, huqub, and we'll get to that in a minute. A little bit more about Yusha ibn Nun, alayhi salam. Some sources say that he was also part of conquering Jerusalem or Palestine. And he participated in a particular battle in which it went on for some time and it was supposed to end on a Friday. Yusha ibn Nun, a miracle happened to him. This miracle is that they call it in Arabic, Raddu Shams. Raddu Shams is the returning of the sun. So Yusha ibn Nun made dua to Allah because he had not completed the conquering of Jerusalem at that time, and he didn't want to stretch the battle on to the following day, i.e. Saturday. And some of the ulama, they say the reason why he wanted the battle to conclude and to conquer Jerusalem or Palestine by Friday is because of the barakah and the blessing of Friday. You kind of want to like finish off this journey on the most blessed day of the week. Our version of that is like, imagine you're memorizing Quran. Like for me, when I was finishing Quran, my sheikh when I got to the last surah and I was about to finish it, my sheikh said, we're not going to read or memorize that surah today. We're going to wait until Jumu'ah. And then we're going to go in the Prophet's masjid. And we're going to sit in the closest place we can get to the Prophet's grave. And you're going to be in the state of wudu and in intention for Jumu'ah. And we're going to do it as close to Jumu'ah time as possible. Like, they try to find the most blessed time and moment. And then he will say to me, okay, finish the Quran now. So it's kind of the same idea. You start something for the sake of Allah. You kind of want to finish it on the blessed, most blessed time. And in this case, it was on Friday. So he made dua. He asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his dua to delay the rising of the sun for the following day. And Allah responded and answered his dua. So he extended the night, extended the day until this battle was done. Jerusalem is conquered. And then the sun rose for the following day. So, in telling all of this, just so you have a somewhat an idea of who this individual is, we don't have much information of where he was born. A lot of the historical books say he was born somewhere in Egypt. Some say even Palestine. Allah knows best where he's buried as well. There's no precise location of his burial. But we do know of his contribution and his participation in Islamic history. And we're going to look at this and how all of this began. So his story of him learning and sort of getting on the job training is going to be this ayah onwards. Okay? So with Sheikh last week, وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِفَتَاهُ, when Musa said to his young man intern, Musa ibn Nun, remember we said this word fatah, you know, a wise, mature, young, smart individual who has potential. لا أبرح حتى أبلغ مجمع البحرين أو أمضي حقبا. I am committed until I reach the merging of the two seas, or I will spend eons upon eons. حقبا is, as you see in your notes there, حقب. It's like an 80-year period. It's our way, or it's Quran's way of saying, I will spend one lifetime upon one lifetime upon one lifetime until I find these two seas that merge together. So they're on this journey. Here's the first benefit of this, okay? Actually, I wrote it down, which is great. See, there is a hadith that Allah has sent someone more knowledgeable than you, so learn from him and you will find him where the two oceans meet. So this is one hadith that sort of speaks about where this journey came from and why they're going on this journey to begin with. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent somebody more knowledgeable than Musa alayhi salam. So he's ordered by Allah to go and learn from him, and you will find him where the two oceans meet. So Musa alayhi salam, that was enough. That was the GPS location. That was the address. He knew that he had to go and find this location. Now, I wrote down there, a real teacher needs a teacher. Sheikh bin Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala. So here's the thing that I just want to emphasize, okay? Verse number 60. First benefit of this, or the first lesson, is traveling for knowledge, okay? The importance of traveling for ilm. Are we travelers of ilm? Are you travelers of ilm? Yeah. When you leave your home, you are leaving seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the knowledge of Allah, the knowledge of Islam. You know the Prophet ﷺ said is happening to all of us when we left home today? And every time you leave home for the intention of getting to a class or a lecture? So the Prophet ﷺ says in a long hadith that angels will descend. They will harp over you, protect you. And the hadith says, فَأَنْزَلَ السَّكِينَ. So the sakina is literally like the sense of peace, calmness, and tranquility. What that means is that your heart is at peace, knowing that you are going to seek the greatest gift in existence, which is knowledge of Islam. That's the greatest gift. There's nothing in this world that compares to it. So you are protected with angels. From the time you left home, even till now, there are angels with us in this room. There are angels with you. And they will be with you, inshallah, until you reach home again. So as you drive back, because this is all the barakah and the blessing of a student of knowledge, i.e. all of us. Another hadith mentions, who's making dua for us right now? because we're learning ilm. Who's making dua for us? Just angels? Way more than that.
All the fish in the ocean.
Yeah, حتى الحيتان في الماء, as the hadith says. Even the animals that are in like deep sea, you know, at the deepest part of the sea. So the Mariana Trench, right at the very bottom, 10,000 or 11,000 feet down the bottom, the deepest part of the earth. There are animals and creatures there that we may never discover and never see them in our lifetime. But they made dua, and they're making dua right now for you and for me. What are they asking Allah for on behalf of us? What are they asking Allah for? What kind of dua?
Forgiveness.
Yeah, forgiveness. So when you see this scenario unfold of Musa alayhi salam, this young man, like this is the whole purpose of why we have what we have. We have Quran, and why it's important to us, and why we study it. It's because of these things. We want Allah's forgiveness. We want to leave a legacy behind. We want to learn about Allah and His deen. And we want the greatest gift, which is its knowledge. So that's the first thing about the importance of traveling for ilm. Number two, Musa alayhi salam, good teacher? Good teacher?
Yes.
Would you assume that he's a great teacher? Yes. Absolutely. You can't get better than that. So the second lesson is, when you seek and you learn, who must you take knowledge from? Reputable scholars who are qualified in teaching whatever it is that they teach. Now here's the thing. There's only one thing I'll mention to you about this. Don't ever hesitate to ask your teacher about their qualifications when it comes to knowledge. That is your haq as a student to know, where did you study from? Who did you learn this from? Where did that come from? What's your academic training? All of those things. You guys don't have to ask me directly because I work here. Everything's online. You can read my bio, all of that good stuff. But the point is, that is incredibly important that you, when you choose a teacher or you choose a sheikh, that you choose somebody who is mature, wise, and has a reputation that this is somebody who is a person of knowledge. So Musa alayhi salam. Okay. Third benefit, and the last one, and we move on. The student is following the teacher, or did the teacher say, come here, student, let's go on a journey? Or did the student say, I want to come with you, teacher? What happened here? It's right in the ayah. Read the translation. When Musa alayhi salam. So who invited who here?
The teacher.
The teacher invited the student to come along on this journey. Traditionally, it's the other way around. The student goes after, travels to seek knowledge from the sheikh, and not the other way around. This is the only example in Quran where the teacher says to the student, come to me, let's go. Now the Yusha ibn Nun say, you know what, today's not a good day. Like it's going to be the weekend soon. Can we do this next week? What did he do? He immediately responded. فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَجْمَعَ بَيْنِهِمَا نَسِيَ حُوتَهُمَا. When they both reach out to the... So they both went on. There's nothing in between. So the assumption is immediately when the teacher invited the student for knowledge, the student responded for knowledge. What you as students and myself as a student have to take from this is knowledge always comes first. Always. That's the sacredness and the honor of this ilm. You prioritize the deen of Islam before anything else. Unfortunately, that is a discipline that is difficult to find in this part of the world. Because usually it's like, oh my God, you know, it's like, if the masjid's too far, the weather's too crazy, or this or that. No, just cancel class. We can't go here today. Oh, the heating's not working too well. I get it. Those are important. Don't get me wrong. Don't beat yourself on the head if you come, like if you use some of those reasons and you sort of back away. That's okay. We're talking, generally speaking, there should be a discipline in mind that you prioritize and you work and you grind for ilm. Does anybody know what the wisdom, what's the outcome of that when you struggle to gain this knowledge? How does that benefit you? What makes you different from the student who conveniently receives this ilm as opposed to somebody who struggles? What's the difference between the two, these two students? Yeah.
They put value on it.
Okay, they put value on it. Appreciate it more.
The more the effort, the more the reward.
Yeah. The more barakah. You know how, put it this way. You know, Bukhari, rahimahullah, put together his collection of hadith. He heard about a man who knew a hadith that Bukhari didn't get his hands on. So Bukhari got on his horse and traveled for days to find this man. Everybody said, go find this man. He knows hadith that you don't know. So Bukhari went, found this man. But he noticed something about this man. When he saw the man, as he's approaching him, the man didn't see Bukhari, but Bukhari can see the man. And as he's approaching him, he noticed that the man is trying to feed a horse some food, but the horse isn't like taking the food. So the man tried to trick the horse, kind of like, hid the food behind here and just like, come here, horsey. You try to pet him, warm him up, and then give him the food. Bukhari saw all of that. Told the man, I came here to get this hadith, but after what I saw, I don't trust you anymore. Because if you're going to deceive a horse, then there's a possibility you will deceive the people. That's that kind of precision and effort. There probably isn't a student of Islam on the planet that doesn't know Bukhari's name. That's barakah. That's how Allah blesses your ilm. That's the separator. Because you work and you strive, it shows you value and you want. You desire. You're thirsty. You're hungry for this. As opposed to, oh, I just saw class, so I just registered because you know what? I ain't got nothing to do that evening anyway. That kind of attitude, okay? فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَجْمَعَ بَيْنِهِمَا نَسِيَ حُوتَهُمَا. When they both reached the union between the two, so they got to this place. They both forgot the fish. So it seems like what happened here, let me see if I believe you have, should have some notes on this. They both forgot their fish. Allah told them to carry some kind of big fish, okay? So they loaded up this boat and they had some food, some kind of fish, and it was probably cooked ahead of time. Musa alayhi salam is sleeping. And the boy is bored and not paying attention. So the boy now is in charge of steering and moving this boat. So he's a young lad. He's a young guy. So you know what happens when young people have free time. What do? They're always up to something. That's why. So what you learn from this whole incident now, in the next verse, okay, this verse here. So they got to this place. And they both forgot the fish. So what you learn from this is young people have to be busy. They have to be kept busy. Because an idle mind is, what's the saying? An idle mind is what? Is it what? Is it an idle mind is a lost and confused mind or something like that? I'm too old to remember those lines that pertain to young people. And so the point here is now, as you see in your notes, somehow forgot this fish. And Musa alayhi salam, eventually, he probably rested during the journey. So he woke up, he's hungry. So when they both reached this union of these two bodies of water, they both forgot the fish and it took its path that it's supposed to take, making waves and a tunnel. So what happened to this fish? Somehow, either if this fish was cooked or it wasn't cooked, the point is it was either forgotten or it got away or something happened to this fish. We don't know the exact details. Something happened to this fish. It's gone. So now Sarab is like in the water. It looks like wherever or whatever happened, when they woke up and they looked around for this fish, they saw this like breaking of the water happening. So they followed it. فَلَمَّا جَاوَزَ. And when they crossed it, قَالَ لِفَتَاهُ. That's when Musa is like, okay, Give me my food. آتينا غداءنا. لقد لقينا من سفرنا هذا نصبا. So he says, give me my lunch because we've met with some kind of exhaustion. What do you learn from this ayah? That Musa's hungry and he likes fish? Or what do we learn from this? Why is Allah telling us this? Take a look. There's a couple of things there. So I wrote down here that the fish jumped out where they were supposed to stop. And Musa alayhi salam wakes up. Some of the ulama say the hunger was a sign that they crossed too much. Okay. So a couple of things. Number one, the fact that Musa alayhi salam wakes up and he's hungry, it was a sign from Allah, stop right here, the boat, stop it here. So it's not necessarily about the food, but it's about, okay, this, wherever you guys are in the ocean, this is where you got to stop. You're getting close, or you're at the right place. What's interesting to me is he says, "Atina ghada, give me my lunch." The student is serving. Now, please, there's no hidden messages here from me to you. But the teacher, the student, gives the teacher his lunch, ensures that the teacher is taken care of. If he's hungry or if he's thirsty, the student's responsibility is to care and do his or her part in ensuring that the teacher is always satisfied. No hidden messages, please, okay? But one benefit that the scholars take from this, right? لَقَدْ لَقِينَا مِنْ سَفَرِنَا هَذَا نَصَبًا. Nasab here is that this is the proof that this was a difficult journey. Only Allah knows what they endured or what they had to encounter when they were on this journey, okay? قَالَ أَرَأَيْتَ إِذْ أَوَيْنَا. The boy says, okay, I'll get the fish. إِلَى الصَّخْرِ فَإِنِّي نَسِيتُ الْحُوتَ وَمَا أَنْسَانِيهُ إِلَّا الشَّيْطَانَ. A typical youth. Well, look what he says. He says, we'll get the fish. Did you see when we passed by next to the boulder, and indeed I forgot the fish. I didn't forget except shaitan made me forget. So as they're moving, they pass by some boulder somewhere on the ocean or some kind of island. They pass by some object. And he says, listen, I forgot. Sakhra is a massive boulder, right? So فَإِنِّي نَسِيتُ الْحُوتِ, I forgot this fish. But by the way, Musa, it wasn't like me that forgot the fish. Shaitan got into my head and made me forget the fish. Is that not a typical youth talking? Shaitan got into me, dad. Shaitan, it was all shaitan, mom. I didn't mean to say it. Shaitan caused the muscles in my mouth to move and project this voice and say that curse word. It was just nothing else, right? So the same idea. وَمَا أَنْسَانِيهُ إِلَّا الشَّيْطَانِ. We got to talk about this real quickly though. Can we blame shaitan when we mess up? Yusuf alayhi salam, in the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, the same thing happened. That the brothers also tried to do the same thing, that you know, it's from shaitan, this happened. Yusuf alayhi salam got, you know, we got rid of him, threw him in a well, etc., etc., etc. Are we allowed to blame shaitan for our mistakes?
No.
Shaitan has something to do with the mistake. But ultimately, each of us as believers have the ability to overcome the temptation of shaitan. So no, we don't get to blame shaitan for our mistakes. Okay? Shaitan is there and he'll whisper to us and he'll try to encourage us. You're doing the right thing. That mistake, that's, don't worry about it. Just do it. Make it happen. And then, you know, you can just figure out an excuse. Those voices that pop into your head. But ultimately, at the end of the day, we have all the tools to say, actually, no, I can fight off shaitan. I can decide whether this is right or not. Okay? وَاتَّخَذَ سَبِيلَهُ فِي الْبَحْرِ عَجَبًا. And it took a strange path into the ocean. Okay, fine. قَالَ ذَلِكَ مَا كُنَّا نَبْغِي فَارْتَدَّ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمَا قَصَصًا. He said, that's what we were looking for. Then they turned around, retracing their footsteps very precisely. Musa alayhi salam says, wait a minute. If that fish then got away, then we got to go follow wherever that fish went, because that fish will lead us to where we need to be. Qasasa is footsteps. You know, like winter's going to be here soon. You know, when you walk in the snow, you leave your footprints. That's called qissatun. Qissa in Arabic is the Arabic word for stories. Why is the word story and footprints in the same definition? What does that tell you about a good story? When you tell a good story, what does the listener feel? Okay.
They're following a journey.
Yeah, they're part of the story. They're in it. They're walking in the footsteps. When you talk about, like, you know, and then the dragon went into the castle. And when he got into the castle, I don't know, the dragon figured out it's fajr time and started praying, like something, right? The kid hearing this is like, my God, how did the dragon look? And then they start imagining themselves as the dragon walking into the castle. That's called qissatun. Allah said Surat Yusuf is going to be ahsan al-qasas. It's going to be the best story. Why? Because when you listen to it, you're going to think you're Yusuf alayhi salam. You're going to picture yourself in the well. You're going to picture all of that. So you're going to be walking in the footsteps of the characters in that story. So he's like, literally, let's go and retrace our footsteps, right? فَوَجَدَ عَبْدًا مِنْ عِبَادِنَا. They found him. Then they found a slave from amongst our slaves. Okay, this is verse number 65. Then they found a slave from amongst our slaves. Umar radiallahu anhu, as you can see in one of your notes here, thought that this was an angel. Like this individual that they found, أَتَيْنَاهُ رَحْمَةً مِّنْ عِنْدِنَا. And we have given to this individual, Allah says, some type of mercy, especially from ourselves, and we had taught him a knowledge that has come from us. So this man possessed something really unique. He had special knowledge about something. Some say that it's Khidr. Khidr was a prophet sent to another group from Musa alayhi salam. Some say it's a very old man, more knowledgeable. Ladun is more knowledgeable. That's this word here. Ladun. Okay? Is the word that's used here for knowledge. Ladun. Ladunna ilma. It means that somebody who has more knowledge than us. Okay, let's put this all together. What's happening here? Okay. Yeah.
The dead fish became alive. Why didn't the boy think it's a big deal? Why didn't the boy think that it was a big deal?
Well, you know, we said that, you know, perhaps one opinion is that this fish was dead. It could have been like, you know, when you take fish out of the water and you leave it out of the water for some time, they look like they're dead until you, like, and then they start moving. So they could have had something along those lines, right? But the point is, looks like not even a miracle, if that's what happened here, caught the attention of the young man, because all he was thinking about, he's going to get in trouble from Musa alayhi salam. So he's just like, I was like, shaitan, man. Like, oh, what can I do? You know, it wasn't me. فَوَجَدَ عَبْدًا مِّنْ عِبَادِنَا آتَيْنَاهُ رَحْمَةً. So they found this man. Let's see what this knowledge is. قَالَ لَهُ مُوسَى هَلْ أَتَّبِعُكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُعَلِّمَنِي مِمَّا عُلِّمْتَ رُشْدًا. Musa alayhi salam said to him, can I follow you around? What just happened? You had a student who followed the teacher. Now you have the teacher who turned into the student, now following another teacher. What do you learn from that?
That knowledge is a lifelong journey. No matter what status you reach, even if you're a prophet, you can always learn more from someone. And Allah, like, is humbling him in a way.
Yeah, that's humility. That's what knowledge is supposed to do. The number one sign your effort in seeking knowledge is accepted by Allah is you develop more humility. It's like what Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah once said. He once said that the more I learn, the more that I discover how ignorant I am. Like how much I just didn't know and I should have. How much I thought I knew and I didn't. The more I study and I learn, the more I uncover and expose my ignorance. That's what knowledge is supposed to do, humble you. Musa alayhi salam is a prophet of Allah, and he's still learning. So this is for now us teachers. Our journey of learning never stops. You guys all heard of Sheikh bin Baz, rahimahullah, who died in the 90s, right? Sheikh bin Baz was reading a book, learning, like studying a book with his sheikh. And his sheikh was in his 90s. Less than a week later, Sheikh bin Baz dies. He's studying a book, like he's in a classroom studying, and less than a week he dies. He's one of the greatest scholars of our time. One of the greatest contemporary scholars ever. 100%. I didn't even look, but there's a 99.9% chance some of Sheikh bin Baz's books are sitting in this library right now, without even me looking for it. That's how important his knowledge and his marja, like his references. But he's still studying and learning. So this journey through knowledge is, so stay away and be cautious of the shuyukh and teachers that are like, oh, you know what? I graduated from so-and-so. I've got this 3 degrees, so I'm good where I am. You don't want to take knowledge from someone like that, or you don't want to depend on them as a reference, okay? Humility is the goal. That's what you want to find. That's where the barakah is. قَالَ لَهُ مُوسَىٰ He says, I want to follow you. Go ahead.
Sorry. So, ladun here means knowledgeable, but in one of the earlier verses when we talked about
yeah.
the word, it meant like immediate access. Is it a different word? Or is there
no, it's the same word. So, put it together. So, you... Yeah. So, it also means immediate access. So, that you're referring to a verse in Surat Ali Imran, where the believer will ask... مِن لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةٍ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَابِ right? So it refers to like a vault of a special type of mercy, a special type of mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think of it the same way with the knowledge of this man. He's got access or he's been gifted with a special type of knowledge nobody else has. Musa alayhi salam is desperate and wants access to that knowledge. So you see how the two definitions can still complement each other, right? Yeah.
You're saying Yusha, is she Joshua? That's what I read.
Who's Joshua, guys?
Yeah, well, Joshua was
from... Who's Joshua, guys? Oh my God.
Yeah, but when is it that I read one about you, that it was Joshua? Why is that?
Yusha ibn Nun?
Yeah.
Is it Joshua? Yeah, you're right. It is Joshua. I was trying to trick you guys. Because the last time I asked students this, right, they're like, Joshua, that's Yusuf alayhi salam. No, it's not. It's Joseph is Yusuf, right? Yeah, it is. It's who they referred in the Torah and the Old Testament as Joshua, okay? Yeah. Okay. And تُعَلِّمَنِي مِمَّا عُلِّمْتَ رُشْدَ Okay? Can I follow you around? Based on the idea that you can teach me from what you have been taught of good things. Musa alayhi salam is only interested in what? Just learning. So make sure you note that. You can teach me. I want your knowledge. And what you have been taught of the good things. Why does Musa alayhi salam emphasize that what you want, what I want to learn from you are just the good things? Why does he emphasize that? In other words, he's saying politely, if you can't benefit me, you're of no use to me. That's a really important lesson, okay, for all of us. Not only just to find knowledge, but knowledge that's beneficial. That'll actually uplift you, inspire you, make you a better person. Like make you a good human being overall. Not just a really good person in salah. Not just a really good person, you know, in ibadat and rituals and so on. No, no, no. You also want to be, you don't want to be an excellent reciter. You also want to be an honest businessman or person. You want to be a good husband and a good wife. You want to be a good mother and you want to be a good father. You want to be a good person. You want all of that. Otherwise, I'm not interested in anything else. Okay. قَالَ إِنَّكَ لَن تَسْتَطِيعَ مَعِيَ الصَّبَرَ This response, gosh, have I heard it so many times in my life. No, you're not going to be able to be patient with me. What is the most important quality as a student when you're learning the deen? No patience, no ilm. You will never, ever be a true student of Islam if you do not have patience with learning the deen. It will never be given to you, never be given to us. If that is like something that you have to think, like really drill that in your heart and mind, it will never, ever, you will never be given tawfiq in knowledge unless you have patience. That's why many of you who have studied with me over the years, I have a tendency of lecturing the students about hanging in there, staying consistent. If I can battle traffic and the weather to get here, nobody else has an excuse. Because I don't think anybody else lives as far as I do from the masjid. Right? Yeah, you actually do. How long does it take you to get here? I like how you spread it. 3/4 of an hour. Yeah, on a good day, it's 1 hour for me all the time. On a good day. That's with the 407 as well. 1 hour it'll take me to get here. There's been days it took me 3 hours to get to IAT. There have been days where it took me 2 and 3 hours. Like I'll leave here after Jum'ah, and then before the time changed. So Jum'ah finishes what, 2 o'clock before the time changed? I get home like at 4:30 because of the 401 and all of that. Yeah. Well, this is before Allah blessed me with 407. You know, when you forget it, I don't even want to say it. I don't want to say it, man. You know, when you go to 407, you just feel like your iman just took a mashallah, you know? It's like, alhamdulillah, you made it, you know, you're here. But yeah, the 407 is one of the greatest gifts, man, if you want to save time. But khair, قَالَ إِنَّكَ لَن تَسْتَطِيعَ مَعِيَ الصَّبْرَ. The first thing is he says, you're not going to be patient. My question to you is this, students. Why did this old man immediately assume Musa alayhi salam is not going to have patience? Where is this coming from? Like, is that a polite thing to say to a student who comes to you for the first time and says, I really want to learn from you? You don't have no patience to deal with me, okay? Is that a nice thing to say? It's a test. He's being tested right now. Scholars do this all the time when students request to study from them privately, all the time. The reason why I told you, I've heard this answer so many times. When I was studying Bukhari, I went to a sheikh and begged him, can you teach me Bukhari? It wasn't being taught at the University of Medina. He told me this ayah. It says, إِنَّكَ لَن تَسْتَطِيعَ مَعِيَ صَبْرًا. So, and he walked away. I was determined. I was a young, really energetic. And next day I saw him. Sheikh, please, like, I really want to learn from you. Please study. It'll be beneficial to people back home, back in Toronto. He repeated to me again the same. It's like, you know, he goes, I'm too lazy. Like him as a teacher, I'm too lazy. I don't have time to teach. Just go. Leave me alone. And he like, so I went to a friend and I told him, I was like, what's up with the sheikh, man? He's so rude to me. And the sheikh told me, the brother told me, he's like, the sheikh's testing you if you're going to waste his time or not. Show him you're serious. 5 times he turned me down. And the 6th time he came out with it. He's like, come to my house Saturday. And I asked him, why did you reject me and be so mean to me, you know? And he said, yeah, just want to make sure you're serious. You want this. It's not easy to teach Bukhari. Every Saturday, 4 years before we finished. So this here is not necessarily like a unpleasant, you know, just a horrible thing to say. No, this is him perhaps testing Musa alayhi salam, if you have what it takes. And how can you be patient? Well, كَيْفَ تَصْبِرُ عَلَى مَا لَمْ تُحِطْ بِهِ خُبْرًا. And how can you be patient with something you haven't even been given full news of? Who's talking here? Who's talking in this ayah? No, it's the old man. Take a look at your note. You can't wrap your head around it. So the old man is telling Musa alayhi salam, how are you going to be patient with something you don't even completely know about? Like it's impossible. Okay. Qala Musa, check him out. Qala satajiduni insha'allahu sabiran wa la a'si laka amra. You'll find me inshallah patient. Don't worry. I'll hang in there. And I will not disobey you in any decision. So he'll ask questions, but he'll be patient. What do we learn from this ayah? Sheikh, I really want to finish this course. Trust me, I'll be there. After like four classes, where are they? That kind of thing. So Musa alayhi salam is trying to say, I'm not going to be that kind of student. I'm going to commit. Yeah, he's like, inshallah. See, we learned it now, right? It's coming towards the end of the surah. Inshallah, sabiran wa la a'si laka amra. You see this word here, sabiran? It's, well, that's the translation. I want you to underline that and say, consistently patient. It's just, there's a style to this word. It's just sort of an Arabic benefit to it. When you say sabiran, meaning, I will always, always be patient. Some days I'm not going to feel like studying, but I'll be there. Some days I'm going to get really annoyed. I'm going to come to class in a bad mood, but I'll be in class. I'll be really consistently patient each and every time. وَلَا أَعْصِي لَكَ أَمْرًا And I won't disobey you in any decision. قَالَ فَإِنَ اتَّبَعْتَنِي Says, like, if you're going to follow, فَلَا تَسْأَلْنِي عَنْ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى أُحْدِثَ لَكَ مِنْهُ ذِكْرًا Then don't ask me about anything until I mention to you something about it. See this one instruction? What is he saying? He's saying, okay, if you're going to follow me, then don't ask anything. Why does he say that? The old man, why does he say that? Don't ask me anything. It's because of this word. Look, where you see here, follow or to follow, underline this word, to follow, these two words. And I'm going to give you a couple things to write about it, okay? To follow. There are two words in the Quran that mean to follow. So on top of this somewhere, so verse number 70, okay? You're going to follow, just the word follow. It's fine. So somewhere on the top there, next to ayah number 70, I want you to write this. There are two words in the Quran which mean to follow. One of them is called ta'a. Ta'a. Okay? Which is follow unconditionally. Don't ask questions. Just follow. That's the first type of follow in the Quran. Just follow. Have you heard of this ayah? Sami'na wa ata'na. That word, al-ta'na. Al-ta'na, just follow and don't ask anything. Okay? The second type of word to follow in the Quran is the word that's used in this ayah. Ittaba'ni. This word right here. Fa'idittaba'tani. Ittiba'an. So here's what I want you to write for the second word. You inquisitively follow. You're asking questions as you follow. So the second word type of follow in the Quran is you are asking as you follow. You're constantly inquiring. Where are we going? Why are we using that direction? Why are we studying this? How come you're sitting like that? Why are we saying it out? You're constantly asking and inquiring as you follow your sheikh why he or she is doing it that way. So everybody understand the two? The first one, you just follow, don't ask no questions. Number two, you're asking questions and you're inquiring all the time. You're curious. So what he's saying is, you, Musa, if you follow me, I know you're going to ask me stuff. So I'm going to let you know ahead of time, don't ask me about anything. What do you learn about Musa alayhi salam's student character, him as a student? What kind of student is he? That kind of student. Teacher, brother, sheikh, got a question. He's that kind of student. You see how beautiful this is? You get an insight of the kind of person Musa alayhi salam is without even reading a biography of him. He's an inquisitive mind. Umar radiallahu anhu said there is knowledge in questions. Al-as'ila ilmun, or al-ilmu as'ila. Knowledge is in questions. And what he's saying is that when you have a question, Ask. That's the whole point. Ask. But there's something gonna about to unfold. حَتَّى أُحْدِثَ لَكَ مِنْهُ ذِكْرًا. Till I mention to you something about it. Okay, fine. فَانْطَلَقَ. So they went ahead. So this is the first rule of the class. Don't say a word. Fine. No questions, students. Okay, خير. So they went ahead. فَانْطَلَقَ. حَتَّى إِذَا رَكِبَ فِي السَّفِينَةِ خَرَقَهَا. Until they both boarded of them onto a ship and he tore it. خَرَقَهَا. You know what kharqaha is? He literally just poked a hole into this vessel. Okay. Qala akharaqtaha. Look what the student did. Immediately, the first thing when they were doubtful or uncertain, immediately he asked the question. Did you tear it up so you could drown its people and have done something both unethical and totally illogical? Oh my God. Like, he's not just saying what he presumes, but he's also coming with all these assumptions. Like, you want to kill us all? You want us to drown and die? And this is so horrible? What kind of sheikh are you? What else do you learn about Musa alayhi salam here? Say it like it is, right? But at the same time, it's like, It's a little challenging for him to like, oh, I need to ask him, what is he doing? Why did he drill a hole, right? Oh, it's killing me. Listen, are you trying to like drown us all? Is this the pre-Titanic moment before the Titanic? What are you doing? He can't kind of like hold himself together. To be honest with you, I think when I think of Musa alayhi salam here, I think it's kind of cute. Like he's like, look what he's going to drown all these people. Everything's going to go wrong. So tear a plank down. So okay, fine. Another job. Okay, next. قَالَ أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكَ. Just like any professor would, right? Any teacher would. Didn't I say, إِنَّكَ لَنْ تَسْتَطِيعَ مَعِيَ الصَّبْرِ. Didn't I tell you you're not capable to have patience with me? You know, our version of this, by the way, is when you take a course and the student asks a question, the teacher says, we will get to that. It's coming. Just relax. And then 5 seconds later, Sheikh, I just said, we're coming to that. Don't jump the topic. Don't jump to the last ayah. We're only in ayah number 3. Like, relax. It's that kind of thing that's happening here. So, repeats the same thing. Students, do we learn anything from this, like, repetition? We said it once. Musa alayhi salam kind of let it slip. Then he says it again. Do we learn anything here between the old man and the student? Yeah. The professor or the sheikh or the old man also needs to be patient. It's very easy for a teacher to be like, look, I already told you once. So don't waste my time. But he reminds the student again. Patience is also a responsibility of the teacher as well. He also has to be patient, no matter how many times he's reminding the students to be patient. That in and of itself, that repetition also requires a ton of patience. So he or she has to be an example of patience. So him repeating himself, don't just look at it and be like, oh, well, every same, let's just skip it and go. No. Allah tells us this stuff. He wants us to like take a moment and think what it means to you. قَالَ لَا تُؤَخِذْنِي بِمَا نَسِيتُ وَلَا تُرِهِقْنِي مِنْ أَمْرِ عُسْرًا. Don't scold me as a teacher. Like, you know, just be easy on me. لَا تُؤَخِذْنِي. مُؤَخَذَ is the word that you see, that the note there. تُؤَخِذْنِي, to hold responsible. So when he's saying don't scold me, i.e. don't hold me responsible for what I have forgotten. So Musa alayhi salam, here's another a little tap into his personality. Like, oh, just say, sorry, I forgot. That student. Tell him, don't ask any questions. Okay, I won't. So brothers and sisters, professor's like, didn't I tell you don't ask any questions? I'm sorry, I forgot. I'm not going to ask you what we call that kind of student in our time, okay? But it's interesting. It's like, I'm sorry, I forgot. وَلَا تُرْهِقْنِي مِنْ أَمْرِي عُسْرًا. Don't impose on me for what I've done more difficulty. Like, don't give me detention. Don't give me extra homework. Don't, like, send me to the principal's office. That kind of thing. فَانْطَلَقَ. So the old man's like, okay, فَانْطَلَقَ حَتَّى إِذَا لَقِيَ غُلَامًا فَقَتَلَ. So they went ahead until they both met a boy. غُلَام. See this word? غُلَام is another word for child or boy in the Quran, and it's between this age group. Okay? So they met a boy between this age group. فَقَتَلَ, and they killed him. Musa alayhi salam does it again. قَالَ قَتَلْتَ نَفْسًا زَكِيَّةً بِغَيْرِ نَفْسٍ لَقَدْ جِئْتَ شَيْئًا نُكْرًا. Remember I told you in the previous one, he's like, you're going to drown these people. This is so illogical, wrong, and horrible. Look what he says here. You killed a person that's poor, that's innocent. You've come up with something that is nukra, something that is absolutely devastating and terrible. How could you? Are you seeing more of the personality of Musa alayhi salam? He cares, and he cares a lot to the point that he can't hold it back. He has to express his care. He's like, how could you do this to people on the boat? How could you do this to this little kid? It's terrible. He cares a lot. Verse number 74. Okay, nukra, unheard of or alien to all society. We've never seen anything like this. Okay. قَالَ أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكَ. Here's the addition, if you want to highlight this. Didn't I say to you? This is the addition. Okay? There's another addition. So the others said, قَالَ أَلَمْ أَقُلْ, قَالَ أَلَمْ أَقُلْ. Here, قَالَ أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكَ. This is the addition here. To you. So it's like this now. The teacher is getting tired, and he says to Musa alayhi salam, like, look, how many times have I told you? That's laka here. So didn't I say to you, just you alone, you are not capable to have patience with me. Look what Musa alayhi salam says next, right? قَالَ إِن سَأَلْتُكَ عَن شَيْءٍ بَعْدَهَا فَلَا تُصَاحِبْنِي. He said, if I ask you anything after this, that you are rightful in never accompanying me again. Sheikh, you can abandon me and just leave me here. What insight do we get about Musa alayhi salam's personality here? He gets it. He's like, okay, I got him upset. Okay, I really need to like stop. He cares too much, which is not a bad thing, but like in a classroom, it just shows a little more. So he's like, okay, look, you don't even have to be my friend, Sheikh. You don't have to talk to me. You don't even have to acknowledge me. فَلَا تُصَاحِبْنِي. Sahaba, sahabi, what does that word mean?
Companion.
You don't even have to be a companion to me anymore. You don't even have to be my friend, Sheikh. It's okay. قَدْ بَلَغْتَ مِنْ لَدُنِّي عُذَّرًا. Then in that case, you will have to excuse, you will have the excuse to just leave me. So Musa alayhi salam at this point here does feel like, okay, enough is enough. He does feel bad. Well, let's see. فَانْطَلَقَ حَتَّى إِذَا. Okay, by the way. Okay, actually, we'll see it when the explanation comes up with all of this. We'll see. Okay. I was going to explain to you why the killing of the child happened here. But we'll come to that, okay? We'll come to that in a second. Okay? فَانْطَلَقَ حَتَّى إِذَا أَتَيَا أَهْلَ قَرْيَةٍ اسْتَطْعَمَ أَهْلَ. So then they went until they eventually reached the citizens of some sort of town. So people, they went to a people in a town, and these people were not nice. They were not welcoming. They were not hospitable in any way. So, أَهْلَ قَرْيَةٍ اسْتَطْعَمَ أَهْلَ فَأَبَوْا أَن يُضَيِّفُوهُمَا. So, they reached the citizens of a town and they asked for food and they refused to be hospitable to both of them. فَأَبَوْا. أَبَوْا is a kind of refusal. And أَبَوْا is like, you don't answer the door. If somebody just came out, you're just like, not answering. And you're looking at them like, bye, go away. That's abaw. So they didn't even try. فَوَجَدَ فِيهَا جِدَارٌ. And they found, so Musa alayhi salam and the old man, they found a wall that wanted to fall over. So when they're in this village, they see this wall that looks really unstable, really fragile. It's rotting away, or the foundation is really off. And they want, and they set it straight. You know, أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ وَأَقَامُ الصَّلَاةِ. So they stood it up straight and they reinforced its foundation. قَالَ لَوْ شِئْتَ لَتَّخَذْتَ عَلَيْهِ أَجَرًا. So Musa alayhi salam and this old man start working on this wall. Pause for a second. Why did they do that? They go to a village. They go to a place. So our perspective of this is very simple. You come to my house. When you come to my house, you see this massive hole in the drywall. You can fit your arm right through it. And I tell you, say, listen, I just don't have time. I'll get to it. Like, you know, I was doing sajda and my head hit the wall, so it busted right through. Sorry. Okay, something happened. So you're like, you know what? It's all good. And before you leave, you're like, you got any like pieces of drywall? I'll patch it up for you. And you sit there and you patch up my wall. You repaint it. It's all good. The people with you, they say, you know, you just like did all that work. We were there for hours. Look what Musa alayhi salam says. He says, قَالَ لَوْ شِئْتَ لَتَّخَذْتَ عَلَيْهِ أَجَرًا. Had you wanted, you could actually ask for some compensation. What do you learn from Musa alayhi salam here now? It itches him. When he sees like the scale isn't balanced, like I do something for you that you at least don't offer something in return. So what would be the polite thing is if I, instead of me sending you off, be like, oh, good job, assalamu alaikum. I should at least out of courtesy do what? Offer something. So listen, man, you know, let's take this just for your time. If not, let me just like, you know, give you some dinner. Let me just, like, I don't know, let me do something for you just to thank you. And if you insist and you say, no, khalas, I'll just say, jazakallahu khairan jazai. Like, let me just pray for you. So Musa alayhi salam has this in his head. You know, these three responses from Musa alayhi salam, you know what this gives you an insight of? What kind of prophet he is. How he dealt with the affairs of his followers. He was a just man. This is one evidence for it. Like he ensured you did the work, you should get something in return. Take care of him. Don't abuse or take advantage, right? And, you know, if he sees that, like, there's, you know, something that's about to happen or something that's unstable, something that might put others in danger, he voices and speaks out like, you're going to pierce a hole in this boat? So you can imagine, like, if he saw something between two people or anything, remember the whole story? Of when he killed the soldier from Fir'aun's palace. A lot of students, they ask, why did Musa alayhi salam even get involved to begin with? This is your answer. It's part of his personality to get involved. Like, he can't just sit there and watch two people hurting each other. Like, he just has to stop it. Because he can't sit there and watch that you just took the life of a child and I'm just going to sit there and be quiet. Like, I got to say something. It's part of him. So I like things like this in Quran, that it sort of in a subtle way highlights and gives you an insight of who these individuals were. The sheikh has enough. هَذَا فِرَاقُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنِكَ. This is the party between you. We're done here. سَأُنَبِّئُكَ بِتَأْوِيلِ مَا لَمْ تَسْتَطِعْ عَلَيْهِ الصَّبْرَ. And I don't know why there's half of it that's cut off there, but there is. Wants to break a lead, about to fall. Okay. Yeah, it should be. In other words, he says, I'm going to tell you the meaning of all that has happened that you could not be patient with. I apologize for that. It's for some reason cut off even in the notes here as well. Okay. So verse number 78, what it should say is, I'm going to explain to you what you could not have patience with. I'm going to explain to you what you could not have patience with. I'm going to explain to you what you could not have patience with. 1 second here. Okay, no, I'll do that after. I don't want to mess around with the students online as well. Okay. We'll take the first explanation and then we'll pause there, inshallah. Okay. Here's the first explanation. أما السفينة فكانت لمساكين يعملون في البحر فأردت أن أعيبها. As for the ship, it was for people. Okay. It was for people trying to work in the ocean. It was for people that were trying to work in the ocean, and I wanted to cause a flaw in it. And right behind them, there was some king around the corner. He was confiscating every single ship by force. So there was a king right behind him, right behind this particular ship that they were on, that was going around just taking any ship or vessel and any of the treasures and foods and all the supplies and stuff that were there, just stealing it all. So he wanted to make the ship look old. Are we allowed to do that? Let's say if you were in a bad neighborhood and you were driving a nice car and your passenger said, I don't know, give me that bottle. I just broke your window. Went outside and took his key and just started scratching up your car. And be like, I know this area. Don't trust me. You don't have to do that. Or do you leave the passenger in the bad area and you drive away? And you just stay right here. You don't have to do that. Like, if you have this like feeling or insight, it's kind of like in between. The Sharia is kind of like in between on this issue. Because if you do know the ins and outs of a particular area or place where your guest or traveler or driver or whoever doesn't, and you want to take this, it's kind of like you bear the consequences. It either works out or you're going to have a hefty repair bill sent to you at some point, right? It's kind of like, it's not a terrible thing to do, but in this case here, this elderly man was very certain of what he was doing. So the certainty is a critical part if you ever are in a similar scenario, okay? سَأُنَبِّئُكَ بِتَأْوِيلِ. Okay. كُلَّ سَفِينَةٍ غَصْبًا. وَأَمَّا الْغُلَامُ. Let's just actually do the both of them. وَأَمَّا الْغُلَامُ فَكَانَ أَبُوَاهُ مُؤْمِنَيْنِ فَخَشِينَ. As for the boy, both his parents were believers, then we were afraid he would force them to rebellion and disbelief. So here's what happened with this scenario, is that this particular child that they killed was going to be a child that when he grows up, he would rebel and he would fall into disbelief and kufr. The world doesn't need another one of those. Explain to me what this ayah means to us in 2023. Can you see how easily you can take this ayah and really abuse it? The Quran said I can take their life if I know that they're a crazy kid and I don't want the kid anymore. The ayah says so. This was once upon a time allowed. It's not allowed anymore. The Prophet ﷺ abrogated this, and it goes back to a whole bunch of other verses. Remember stories of burying the daughter alive, right? Quran came, abolished all of that. You're not allowed to do this anymore. Back then, during this time, it was allowed. Yeah.
But wouldn't you say that this is specifically for Khidr himself because he was given wahi? Like,
it's possible to assume that it was specifically, but there's no evidence to restrict it to just Khidr alone. Because the story is highlighting this instance amongst them, right? But we don't know if this was a norm or a law or something that others practiced as well. So we can't restrict it. There is a possibility that this was a norm. For now, all we care about is, as you said, right? This situation here, it's between this old man, Musa alayhi salam, and Khidr, and so on.
But it's also, we were afraid. So it's not, we would know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not
so, a certain thing. So it brings up even more questions because I think like Khidr had rahma wa ilma.
Yeah, and that's the whole point, right? He has this knowledge that this is the whole reason why all this is unfolding. But here's the thing. Here's the thing I want to leave you with. What is the core lesson behind all of this? What are we learning by all of this? That the first instance of, you know, he destroyed the ship, but there was a really nasty king. It would have killed you if they found that everything was okay and taken everything. Now here, this child would have been terrible. What are we learning from all of this? What's the lesson here? Lesson is very simple. Sometimes things may appear in your life that is really terrible, really rough. All right. And I don't mean, and I'm not trying to say to you, just deal with it. But be positive. Be positive that Allah put or allowed that thing to happen. And there is wisdom behind it, even if you don't know what that wisdom is. Because Allah Himself says that He does not do things in vain. There is always wisdom and purpose behind it. Got it? So at the end of all of this, there is some like wisdom that came out of it. And it is, this is the only time a situation like this is mentioned in the entire Quran. There's nothing similar to it. So it's highlighted, it's here, but this is not obviously something we're allowed to practice or do. It's already been done with, and we have plenty of ayat hadith that abrogated this sort of thing. Okay? One last verse.
So,
yeah.
So just to be clear, the lesson is not we're allowed to do bad things if it's for our greater good?
No.
Okay.
So because...
very, very clear.
Yeah. You're not allowed to do bad things for the greater good. No. Everything here happened because a man was inspired and given ladunna ilma, some kind of knowledge that others didn't possess. It was like a very isolated situation with this one man. But you cannot extract the principle of doing bad, hoping some good. You and I can't control that. We don't know the outcomes of that. But this man already knew. Allah inspired him with it. Yeah. فأردنا last ayah and we're done. فأردنا أن يبدلهما ربهما خيرا منه زكاة وأقرب رحما. We intended that he replace it with someone better than him in terms of intelligence and purity, and he would be closer in terms of mercy and keeping family ties. There's a lot to unpack in this verse, but I'll leave that for next week, inshallah. Next week, what will end up happening is we should have maybe just two classes left on the surah. The surah. Hey, don't worry. We got lots of goodies for you. So nobody's going anywhere. We're going right till before the winter break. Okay? We're going right up to the winter break. It's all good. I actually like when I finish a subject early because then we can study something else. I can give you like a 2 or 3 session course on a different subject. You guys don't want that? You just want Surah Al-Kahf, that's it? No, wait, I'm telling you, nobody's going anywhere, okay? This is kind of, just think of it, and I enjoy this. It's kind of like a little bit of a bonus for all of us, right? It's a pleasure for me, and I hope for you too. So I want to finish this a little early and have maybe 2 or 3 sessions on a completely separate subject, and that will be your gift from Allah before the winter break, okay? Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Until next week, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.